Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said this in John 16, verse 7, probably amazed them. They probably didn't even understand it. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." You know the disciples had this to be thinking, what? Because Jesus said a lot of things that they would just shake their heads and go, what? Remember, he'd be walking through a crowd one time, and then he'd stop and go, "Okay, who touched me?" They're like, "Jesus, everybody touched you." He said, "Yeah, but somebody touched me and healing power went out of me." But now he says, it's to your advantage. They've been walking with Jesus for 3 years. You talk about some exciting times. You wake up every day going, what is he going to do today? And everyone says, man, I wish I could have been back there. But listen, if it was their advantage that Jesus went away and sent the Holy Spirit, it's our advantage that we have the Holy Spirit, because we don't have to wait for Jesus to show up, because we have his Spirit living on the inside of us. I'll go into more of that later. But we have an advantage. It's a hidden advantage. You can't see it, but one of the things I hope that you get from this series is you become more aware of him. And becoming more aware of him and his power is going to be a good thing. Don't diminish our advantage. It's an important part of our church mandate. One of the very first scriptures the Lord gave us when we started the church 30 some years ago was 2 Corinthians 13:14. This is like a keynote scripture for us. And it says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." Now, that's not just Paul saying, "Hey, y'all be good, see you." Or, "Y'all come back now, you hear?" Or, "We'll do lunch sometime." No, this had a purpose. And we preach, and we just finished a series on strong in grace. Being strong in the grace that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, are we off of that? No, we're always going to be on that, because we need his grace. It's grace that causes sufficiency in our life. When Paul said he was going through a tough time and he prayed, asked the Lord for help, the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you." He didn't say it was insufficient. It's sufficient. And so the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, we can never stop preaching about the love of God. Because when you begin to understand how much God loves you, it gives you a solid foundation for your Christian life, that you're not waiting for him to punish you. You're not thinking he's just waiting for you to mess up one more time so he can just absolutely just wreck your life. The love of God and the fellowship or the communion or the partnership of the Holy Spirit. Well, if we're going to preach grace and we're going to preach the love of God, we can't ignore this one. We should not ignore the fellowship or the partnership of the Holy Spirit. This is not on the screens in your notes, but in Acts, the 9th chapter, verse 1. The book of Acts is just a marvelous book, and we'll look a lot in it because it really talks a lot about what the Holy Spirit is doing. And the book of Acts 9:31 said, "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified or built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied." And so they said the church walked in the fear of God, a reverence for God, and they walked in the comfort, and that word means the strengthening aid of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. One of the things we see in the early church, you'll notice, is they paid a lot of attention to the Holy Spirit, and he was very active in their life. In fact, some people think the book of Acts is really the acts of the Holy Spirit through the disciples, through the apostles, through the church. So that's how the church was multiplied. So we don't want to diminish that. And we want to utilize our advantage. If he's an advantage to us, then a lot of people are saying, well, if he's an advantage, how come I'm not seeing that? Well, there's some things we have to understand. One, we have to recognize him from the scriptures. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Matthew 28, 18. Now, this is something we almost take for granted. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So we use that, and Jesus used that, saying, in other words, he's putting the Holy Spirit in equality with God. He's the third person of the Godhead. Now, the thing about it is for people, you start talking about the Holy Spirit, and a lot of people are like, ooh, I don't know about Him. Like, I'm good with Jesus, and I'm good with God the Father, but the Holy Spirit, And one of the problems is the fact that old King James called Him the Holy Ghost. And we're thinking, ghost? I want nothing to do with a ghost. Or if you, like I was, you grew up with cartoons, and there was Casper, the friendly ghost. The Holy Spirit is a whole lot more than Casper, the friendly ghost. But the idea is that the Holy Spirit, and unfortunately, some people treat the Holy Spirit like he's like the brother-in-law that you don't want to talk to. He's the relative that when he comes for Thanksgiving, you just hope he stays calm. But he's a whole lot more than that. Jesus talked about Him. We're going to talk about Him. We're going to respect Him as being fully God. He's fully God. He's not like the third wheel. He's fully God. In Acts, the 5th chapter, this is a passage where the early church was growing, and Ananias and Sapphira came in and sold a piece of land, lied about how much they paid for it. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Why it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart and you've not lied to men but to God? He said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit, you've lied to God. There's not a separation there. And so Peter was saying, you've lied, but he makes them fully God. The Holy Spirit is fully God. He's not part God. He's not the red-headed stepchild. No offense to the red-headed people. He's not the one who's on the outside looking in. He's fully God. And then we understand, we respond to Him, obeying His leadership in our lives. And this is where we begin to see His advantage in our life. In Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 14, it says, those, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Being led by the Spirit of God, that the Holy Spirit can be involved in leadership. And listen to me, this is one of the most valuable things you can ever learn in your Christian life, is learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. Listen, you want to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit in who you marry.
That's right. Amen.
You married people should have said amen to that. You want to be led as an employer. You want to be led by the Holy Spirit into who you hire. I've still got the scars to prove it. I have been led by the Holy Spirit, and I have missed the Holy Spirit. And when I have missed Him, they're not with us any longer as employees. But some of the ones that the Holy Spirit led me to, Philip Moore, 23 years. Janet, 30 years. Wilma, 26, 27 years. Holy Spirit leads you into something that's going to be good. That's how this church started. Driving down I-45, crossing the bridge over 336, it dropped in my heart to start a church in Conroe, Texas. Now, I didn't start the church in Conroe, Texas in 1996 because the demographics said it would be the best place to start one. Because the demographics didn't even know Conroe existed at that time, and it wasn't the fastest growing area. But how many of you know the Holy Spirit knows exactly what's going on? He knew what would be here. And so he's the one that dropped that in my heart. When I went home and told Joy, I said, I know where we're supposed to start a church. She said, where? I said, Conroe. She went, Conroe. We'd been talking about Switzerland. She's like, Conroe? I'm like, Conroe. I said, I know. In fact, when we came to start the church, I went to look for a place. Now, this is 1996. You could do it different then. So I'm looking for a place, and I stopped in, I think, one of the hotels on I-45, and I'm like, no, this ain't it. And I went to, at that time, it was the Conroe Montessori Center. And I walked in, and the lady said, can I help you? I had my sales rep stuff on, had a tie on, everything. I said, yes, my name is Alan Clayton, and I'm looking to start a church, so we're looking for a place to have it. And she said, okay. So let me show you the place. I said, I'm looking for a place to rent. I said, we're going to rent it from. I wasn't looking for free. And she said, okay, I'll show you. And she began to talk to me. She said, where are you from? I said, well, John Osteen is my pastor. I was at Lakewood Church for a number of years, 10 years. And we're up here now. And we feel led to start a church. And she showed me around, showed me some rooms. And she said, we've been looking for a church. She said, we left ours. And she said, we've been looking for one. She said, if you want to start a church, you can start one right here. I won't charge you a thing. I remember I walked out, sat in my car, and I went, no, that's too easy. That is way too easy. I went and drove around for a little bit, drove out toward Tomball, and went, like, no, had no witness, drove down south on 45, and there was an area there, a strip center there, and I'm like, no. And I'm like, what are you doing? You just got offered a free place to start the church. And we started in that place, and we started with 27 people. But if the Holy Spirit leads you to do something, it's going to work. This is a function of not, here's my plan, Lord, bless it. It's, Lord, what's your plan? It's already blessed. His leadership is key. We'll talk about that. Because you want to be led by the Holy Spirit. He's not just in us to hitch a ride. He's in us to help us. Jesus said to his disciples, the helper. He's the helper. And I don't know about you, I need help.
Yes, I do.
I need help being a good husband. I need help being a father. I need help being a grandfather. I need help being your pastor. I need help living for God. I need help. I will take all the help I can get. And the people go, I don't want any help. Well, you need help. I'm not going to do what I did last time. You're waiting for me to say you're stupid, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing it. Joy gave me the eyeball when I got home. Like, well, okay. Why is there hesitancy about the Holy Spirit? Why is there hesitancy about it? Because you talk about the Holy Spirit and people kind of clam up. They're like, whoa. One is a lack of understanding of who He is and what His role is. Understanding needs to be based on a solid biblical foundation. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. The Bible talks a lot about Him. We can't ignore Him. Shouldn't ignore Him. Romans 10:14 says, how shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? Now, the principle there is, if you don't have a good understanding, if you don't know who He is, if you don't have a scriptural basis, you really won't look to Him. And so, a lot of times, it's a lack of understanding. There's an old adage, it's not a scripture, but it's true. It says, what you're not up on, you're down on. Oftentimes what people are, they're like, no, they don't know enough to make a good, honest decision. So you want to at least get scripture for that. We have a saying around here, if you're new, we have a saying around here, don't get mad, get scripture. You know, sometimes people say, well, my grandma, don't hear about grandma. Scripture is what we want to go by. Because scripture gives us a good, solid foundation. People's opinions and traditions and all that stuff, that's fine, but it does not supersede Scripture. Scripture is where we want to go. So we want a scriptural basis. Also, it's a lack of understanding can cause a negative reaction. A lack of understanding. Jesus preached a sermon one time, one of His famous sermons, in John chapter 6. He said, you need to eat My flesh and drink My blood. That was quite a sermon. That sermon was successful in doing a couple of things. One, it cleaned out a whole lot of people. In John 6:60 and verse 66, it said, therefore, many of His disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And then many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Here's just a good rule of thumb. If you don't understand it, don't walk away from it. Dig in further. Find out what is going on. Get a good scriptural basis for what's going on. A lot of times people don't understand something. They go, I'm out. No, you want to find. People walked away from Jesus. You say, well, I wouldn't have walked away from Jesus. People do it all the time. They don't understand something. They don't understand what goes on, and they walk away. Listen, I've always figured this out. If I don't understand something, the problem's with me. It's not with the Lord. The lack of understanding is on my part, not His part. And so I can ask the question, Lord, what's the deal here? What's going on? But don't walk away because you don't understand. Don't do what people, we're smarter than that. So I believe you, we know more than that. Here's some other things. Here's some other reason people are hesitant. There's a misinformation. They don't recognize his present day work. People say, well, the Holy Spirit was for back then. No, he's for right now. In Romans, the 8th chapter, it says this. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. One of the ways you know that you're a child of God, because when you say, you know, I am. I made Jesus my Lord and I'm saved and I'm a child of God. And there's something on the inside that goes, that's right, that's right. It bears witness, and the Holy Spirit will bear witness with you that you are a child of God. Because when you weren't, you knew it. When you weren't, you come in and sit way in the back of the church. He knows you're there. But the beautiful thing about it is when you are a child of God, you're quick. And that witness on the inside, the Holy Spirit bears witness with us. So that's one of the reasons. Another reason is people using other people as God's standard. What do I mean by that? Well, Alan, I'll tell you what. My Aunt Sally, she was the finest, she was a better Christian than you are. She had nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to take away from your Aunt Sally being a good Christian. I am going to take away from your Aunt Sally being the standard by which you should live. Amen. You didn't hear that. Amen. All of us have people in our lives who have helped us and led us, but they're still not the standard. For a long time, my mother was the strongest spiritual person in my whole family. My mom was hungry for God. She was stout, man. She searched for God. And during what's known as the charismatic revival that was in the late 60s and the early 70s that swept this nation, my mom was so hungry for God, she got filled with the Spirit, and which was wonderful, except she was sharing it with the girls in her Baptist Sunday school class who were in junior high, and they started getting filled with the Spirit, and that didn't cut it. But my mom, for a long time there, we thought, man, mom is the strongest one. And mom used to get led by goosebumps. You say something and mom go, oh, I have a witness. So for a long time, if we want to know if it was God or not, we're looking at mom's arm. Mom got goosebumps, that's God. Until I watched the University of North Carolina win a national championship, watched Michael Jordan knock down a shot, and I had goosebumps. I'm like, that's not God, that's Michael Jordan. What I'm saying is, I didn't stop with mom. And there have been people in our lives who are wonderful, but listen, the Bible is our standard. That's how we compare ourselves. It's with Scripture. We can't compare ourselves with other people. People say, well, my pastor, and he was the best pastor in the world, and he said this, fine. I'm not going to take away from the goodness of Christian people who have been in your life. What I'm saying is they shouldn't be the standard. God's Word should be the standard by which we make decisions. Listen, don't believe it just because I said it. Believe it because you can back it up with Scripture. If you come to me and go, Alan, you can't back that up with Scripture, I say, well, let's go. Let's go. Show me where. And listen, if I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to tell you. But the standard is not Alan. The standard's not Billy Graham. The standard is the Scriptures of the living Word of the living God. That's what we make decisions on. And so we don't get keyed up about other people. Oh, no. Good. Rejoice. We all know good people. But everybody you know who's a good Christian is still flawed. I know you don't believe this, but joy is flawed. It's not much. It ain't much. It's a whole lot less than me. But she's not perfect, and she's not the standard. Jesus is the standard in His Word. Another reason people have a misconception about the Holy Spirit is because they met weird people who blame stuff on the Holy Spirit. Come on now. All of us have met some freaky people. They're like, man, I want nothing to do with them, because they're like, and they're blaming it on the Holy Spirit. They're weird people. Let me tell you something. They were weird before they received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did not make them weird. He will not make you weird. He'll make you strong. 2 Timothy, here's Scripture. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, sound mind. Not a weird mind. A sound mind. People blame stuff. I heard about one guy in a Pentecostal church. Man, they're pretty wild and woolly. And man, they were having a wild service. Anybody grow up Pentecostal? Okay. Well, you can, don't be embarrassed. You're among friends. Yeah. He said, man, this service got pretty wild. One lady grabbed this other lady by her hair and slung her up under one of the pews. Said, the Holy Ghost told me to do that. Well, the Holy Ghost didn't tell you to do that. No, that's you, and you didn't like that woman, so you snatched her up. So you can't blame weird stuff on the Holy Spirit. He'll give you a soundness of mind. Listen, people, what's a hot button right now in America, in the world? Mental health. Well, if we need mental health, then we need the spirit of mental health on the inside of us, the spirit who has a sound mind, not someone who's weird. Thank God he's not weird. Okay. We got a little bit more. The Holy Spirit, here's another reason people kind of have a harder time. The Holy Spirit is harder to personify. So we're calling him a person, and yet we think of people as inhabiting a body like ours. Again, the King James called him the Holy Ghost. That didn't help anybody. We can relate to Jesus, the Son of God. We can relate to God the Father. But then there's the Holy Spirit. But like, how do we relate to him? Because he's fully God and likened to Jesus, likened to rivers of living water. John 7th chapter. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, who those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. We'll talk about this a little bit later, but in the Old Testament, you know, the Holy Spirit didn't just show up on the day of Pentecost. He was actually there. The Spirit of God was there in creation. And then we see during, and I'll show you some scripture, that a lot of these people that we make almost superhuman in the Old Testament, I'm thinking of Samson, I'm thinking of David, all of them had the Holy Spirit upon them. And so in the Old Testament, the only people that had the Holy Spirit were the ones who were prophets, priests, and kings. But in the New Testament, thank God for the new covenant that we live in. When Jesus died and was raised from the dead to make us right with God, no longer would the Holy Spirit be limited just to certain few. Now the Holy Spirit could come and live in all of us. And every one of us could have the Holy Spirit on the inside. This is why we have a better covenant. This is why people say, oh, I wish I could have lived in the old day. Mm-mm, I don't want to live in the old day. I want to live in the day when the Holy Spirit lives in me. It empowers me today. That's today. That's not just because Jesus has been glorified and because he's made us vessels that can receive the Holy Spirit. That's just a whole nother thought right there, that he's the one that has cleansed us. And now the Holy Spirit, that, don't you know, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God, and you're not your own. So our bodies are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. People say, oh, I wish I could have been in the temple. You are the temple. When you leave thinking, whew, okay, I'm out of church. I can live like I want to. No, you're the temple. You're bringing it with you. That was a good place for a whoop right there. All right, let's see if we can, wrap this. Oh, you ready? Let's worship and go out. Before we do that, would you bow your heads just for a second? Now, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and we assume that a lot of you who come on Wednesday night have a relationship with the Lord. And if you have a relationship with the Lord, then the Holy Spirit is the one who lives in you. But maybe you came tonight and you don't even know if you have a relationship with the Lord. Or maybe you're like I was. And at one point in your life, you walked away from the Lord. And you recognize, you know what, I need to come back. So we're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. But this prayer is for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around but me. But if that's you, and you say, you know, Alan, I don't know where I stand with the Lord, but I want to. Or, Alan, would you, man, I know I need to come back to the Lord. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up across this auditorium? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for your courage. Anybody else? Say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Wonderful. We're going to do that. We're going to pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to pray this prayer together. If you're online watching, this prayer is for you. If you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with other people, pray it quietly. But we're going to pray it with you. It's a church family. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Head still bowed for a moment. Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer. Lord, thank you for the ones who've come to you and the ones who've come back. We rejoice in what you're doing in them and what you can do through them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer with us, you can tap the seat in front of you. And if you'll give us some information, we'll pray for you every week, or you can fill it out. If you're online, you can scan. And we'll pray for you every week. We don't miss because we realize that's important. So here's the deal. We're gonna stand and sing. If you need to slip out, go ahead and slip out. But we're gonna stand. We're just gonna end with a worship song. Tony, whatever you got, just go ahead.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.